You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Nothing happened in the last 68 hours since we were on the air. Not a damn thing. You missed nothing. How the heck are you? We are Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on, wait for it, X.
That's Look right. at you. Look at you.
Yep. It's no longer Twitter. It's no longer even Twix. It's X. If I can make the move, so too can you. Because goodness knows, I'm the last one to adjust.
Don't know what happened to you over the weekend, but you got younger somehow.
Do you remember what Toyotas were called before they were called Toyotas?
Datsuns, right?
Datsuns, exactly. I called them Datsuns for like 2 years. Hey, that's a Datsun. Well, actually, it's a Datsun. Right. So, you know, so for me, I mean, how long's Elon owned this now? About a year?
About as long as you were still calling Toyotas Datsuns.
I mean, apparently people are trying to buy it from him. I figured I'd call it X before he sells it. Apparently Datsun's Nissan. My bad. Whatever. Anyway, I called it Datsun for years. So I'm still not calling it Nissan, apparently. So there you go. What a weekend it was. Crazy. Nuts. I watched a lot of it, too. I got to admit, I was taking naps during the day so I could stay up late. I'm watching the Grand Canyon, Texas, Arlington finals. They're not even starting till 11:30 at night in the East.
Oof. Boy, you went back to your old self, didn't you?
I did. You know what? I channeled my inner Trent Bowley. That's what I did this weekend. I said, you know what? I'm 24 years old. And I have no life, and I'm watching basketball. That's what I'm doing. There's nothing better in the world right now than this. Try to convince me otherwise.
There isn't anything better. It was awesome. It was a great weekend.
Yep.
Boy, do we have a bracket to talk about.
we always have a bracket to talk about.
I know, but people are up in arms this year in particular. For a good reason. We'll get to it.
Well, I think there's more people this year. Didn't you get the feeling, guys, that as we headed into the weekend and the upsets continued and you realized Friday night, Saturday morning, oh, wow, we got some bids that have been lost here, more than normal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as FAU goes down, as NC State wins is winning in the ACC, you start looking at this going, uh-oh.
Right, right. Saturday night even, you're looking at North Carolina going, are you guys really going to lose to the Wolfpack? Are you going to let them go 5-for-5? 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 What is this, an AAU tournament? Are you really going to let them do that? And Temple's threatening to do the same in the AAC? What the heck? Yeah. Coaches getting fired on Monday, winning conference championships on Saturday? That's the best. Isn't that the best? My mother-in-law said, do you think they'll reconsider? I go, if I was the coach, I wouldn't want them to. That is the best middle finger mic drop of all time.
Mutually agreed to part ways. Mutually my you-know-what.
Right. Post-game interview, he goes, no, I'm not retired. You know, they just made a decision. Had 17 good years, sir. By the way, we're going to the tournament, right? Thought so. Funny thing, he's averaged like 18 wins. Heading into the conference tournament, he had averaged like 18 wins over the last 3 years. Anyway. Got teams making it for the first time ever. Got teams making it for the first time since the Carter administration.
Yeah, Duquesne, we're talking about you.
Yes, we are. And let me tell you, woof, wow. Kevin Harlan. If we could truth serum Kevin Harlan. Kevin, have you broadcast five worse games in your life than the A-10 final yesterday?
That was dreadful.
Wow.
My mother-in-law is a Duquesne grad, so I kind of was rooting for her.
Really?
Yeah. That's where she went to college.
I've never heard that before.
And so I'm watching with my wife going, how about this? Huh? And I didn't know it, you know, didn't know it was 77. I knew it had been a while. But as I'm watching the second half of that game, that's some of the worst basketball I've ever seen in my life.
I was going to say, you jumped in the pool, swam for a half an hour, got out. Duquesne hadn't scored. And they're still in the lead.
Man.
Whew.
That set basketball back a good bit.
But I think, and guys, tell me if I'm wrong, it just sensed that the bubble was bigger. Whether that's more mediocrity or more above average this year, that we had far more teams vying for the final three, four spots than we normally do. Normally, it feels, Mark, like we got six teams for two, three spots. And after that, that's it. This year, it felt like you had 14 teams for four.
Well, I think there was a little bit of that because of the reasons that you just brought up. That you had the A-10 winner, that you had the AAC winner, that you had NC State sneak in. All of a sudden, what seemed to be for sure were in the tournament, you're going, uh-oh. And, you know, I'm a Michigan State grad. I'm watching the selection show going, huh, everybody's got them on their last four in, and we're going in the last bracket. I'm going, are they in?
Right.
And they get a nine?
Yeah, some of the seedings defy logic, and I really wonder if some of the seedings are because they try not to have teams from the same conferences playing in the first week. And so, but it doesn't explain FAU seeding. I mean, FAU is an eight? What the heck? Last year's team was a nine. What the hell? I mean, FAU an eight? I thought FAU was going to Dayton. With the five bids, and the committee acknowledged, oh no, five bids were taken away. Five. Over the course of the last 48 hours. And the one committee guy who did an interview said, yeah, we've never worked as long and as hard doing a bracket as we did this year. This year was the toughest year of us ever doing this. Huh, okay. But five bids, five were stolen, if you will. So the entire one seeds of the NIT, all right, were in the tournament. Then there's the whole six schools who said, no, we ain't playing in the NIT. The hell with you. The NIT, which is run by the NCAA actually financially benefits off the NIT. They're like, no, we're not helping you. And besides, the transfer portal opens up today. Today.
That's a problem with the sport.
Here's my question. Kansas is down two starters. Can anybody transfer to Kansas and help them out at the end of the week? No? I mean, how quickly does this, if you transfer now, can you help the Jayhawks out? Because they're shorthanded this week. No? Too soon?
Just a touch.
Coach, I had to spend the week preparing for the tournament. Actually, I got my whole staff out on the road calling guys. The transfer portal's opened up.
We got to lock in whoever's staying, and then we got to go out and add to this roster.
Hey, so much for that Northeast media. The power of the Northeast media and the bias, huh? Committee said to the Big East, yeah, I don't think so. You don't impress me much.
No, because when you think of media darlings getting bids, you always think Mountain West, David.
Exactly.
With six bids.
Yep. St. John's, Seton Hall, hell no. Let's go. Boise State and Colorado State. Let's go. It was fun, though. I got to admit it. It's probably the most fun selection show. If you watched it, it was the most fun selection show in a long time because between who they seated, where they did, and then, wait a minute, I haven't heard so-and-so's name yet. What about? I got it. Mark. I thought Michigan State was out.
When they went to the last bracket, yes. I went, I'll be damned. Sparty's out of the tournament.
Sparty's out. And considering all the teams that were still left on the bubble, you're like, okay. I thought they were putting Seton Hall in over Sparty going down to the last one. I'm like, huh, they're going to get, wow.
Well, and at that point, too, they had already announced what the first four matchups
correct.
Were.
Correct. So you know you're not, when everybody's told you that the team you root for is a last four in, and they've already given you the two play-in games going,
right.
Well, I'll be damned. The streak's over.
His streak goes what, late 90s?
26 in a row.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we went Carter administration. Now there's Clinton administration. I mean, right there. You got to throw. Today's an administration day.
That'll keep Moulton right on. Nothing's going to slip past him today. He's like that walrus in the goalie in the commercial. Nothing will get past him. We throw him a couple of fish, and we let him know about an administration or two, and he is on his game.
That's right. I'll just have to make the sounds occasionally. Hur, 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 hur. There you go. That'll be my job.
I could do without the sounds, but yeah. But the point is well taken.
Trent's like, I know your name's on the show, but don't do that again.
I thought it was a pretty accurate.
Oh, it was. It's just I don't need to hear that.
Right? Who does? Especially at this hour. Miller and Moulton. Well, I have to admit, I think the tournament's already been spectacular. I really do. I think March so far has been amazing.
Well, and when you go through the weekend and every single one seed in a conference tournament not named Connecticut got beat.
And then UConn starts off the game, goes like 7 minutes scoreless in the Big East final. And they damn near have 14 points at the half. I'm like, what? Just are we slipping people? Mickey's? What's going on here?
So you go into the tournament wondering which team can win all these games in a row. Because other than UConn, they were all a mess in their own conference tournaments.
I was going to say, they're all losing. And, of course, what happens? Seemingly, the bracket comes out, and all the 11, 12s, 13s that you like, they're matched up against teams, and you go, oh, no, not them. I don't know if they can beat them. But you're going to pick them anyway. That's the beauty of the brackets, baby! Miller and Moulton, thanks for listening.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, top of the morning to you. How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. So we'll get back to the brackets. I mean, obviously, the biggest thing over the course of the weekend, but we'll just put it aside. This National Football League continues to make news. I don't know if you heard of them, Mark. But, man, are they, for a league that doesn't make trades, boy, they sure are trading quarterbacks.
Yes, they are.
Do you know four starting quarterbacks from the season that just ended have been traded? Four. Four out of 32. I mean, you got to admit that. I mean, for a league that doesn't make trades, we just want them to make four trades. They traded four starting quarterbacks. It's March.
How many of the four starting quarterbacks that will traded will start next year?
You mean opening day or just...
I don't mean for a game, become the starter of their team. Not because of an injury, but we named X the starter. And I don't mean a post on X.
Well, let's see. Desmond Ridder was sent to Arizona. So, no. Kenny Pickett was traded to Philadelphia.
Right.
So, no.
Mac Jones
Justin
to Jacksonville.
Fields was traded to Pittsburgh. We'll get to that in a moment. So, no, obviously they're going. You know what? Probably the best chance is that one. Who's the other
Mac
one?
Jones.
Mac Jones got traded to Jacksonville, where he's definitely the backup. So I would say the one with the best shot is Fields.
I would agree with that. And I don't give it that good of a shot.
No, I don't either. But, you know, over 60 guys started games last year. I think it's third year in a row that the number has started with a six. And so, all right. First off, how about what the Steelers have done? So the Steelers had to review Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitchell Trubisky was their quarterback room 2 months ago. Mark, how many of those three are still there?
Not a one, David.
Wow.
That's unusual. I mean, that is unusual in the National Football League. It's staggeringly unusual for the Pittsburgh Steelers to clear out
right.
a quarterback room.
Right. Get rid of every one of these guys.
I'm honestly, done with this guy.
Don't want to see their faces ever again. Honestly. So apparently, Pickett and the organization started to go sideways late in the regular season. He was healthy enough to come back, and he's like, I'm ready to play. And they're like, yeah, we're sticking with Mason Rudolph, and you'll be the backup. And he apparently, reportedly, he's like, yeah, I'm not interested. So he was the third quarterback for the rest of the year. Because he basically said, this is ridiculous. So that got the relationship going sideways. They then make the move for Russ. And they go to him and, you know, and he just said, yeah, I think it's best if we just part ways. And they apparently said, sounds good to us.
Well, come on now. We know that organization pretty well. And when they tell you you're going to be the backup, and you say, no, I'm going to be the third. No, I refuse to be the backup, essentially. Which, that story was out, and everybody denied. I mean, Pickett denied it. Tomlin denied it. Everybody denied that that was the case. Well, it all turned out right. to be 100% true.
Had to be, because, you know, I mean, they traded this guy in the first round 2 years ago. Fields was drafted in the first round 3 years ago. Kenny Pickett was drafted in the first round 2 years ago. They basically said, here, I got a Kenny Pickett, and I found about 300 golf balls in the garage. Here, take them. Any of those good? Yeah, there's some 40, 50 of them you'd play with. The others are just range balls. Oh, okay. So that's that. But how about Fields? Do you like what the Bears did? They're like, just get him out of here, you know, conditional sixth. If he plays 51% of the snaps, it becomes a fourth.
I don't like it, but I understand it. They made their decision. They're going Caleb Williams. They made it a while ago. I don't think you can have Justin Fields around if you're going Caleb Williams. I think you can bring a Joe Flacco in, or you can bring in an older veteran quarterback, if it's a bridge guy that needs to start a couple of games. But it can't be someone who, the minute things go south, people are going to say, whose team is it?
By the way, who is going to be the veteran either placeholder or backup? I mean, besides Ryan Tannehill,
it's gotta be there. It's gotta be Ryan Tannehill. I mean, don't you have to go sign him immediately?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what Denver's doing at quarterback also. I mean, I think Tannehill could start for the Broncos, but he certainly could be the placeholder for Caleb Williams if you don't want to just throw him out there week one. But also, somebody's got to back him up, right? I was surprised that they settled for a song, if you know what I mean. Like, if they had gotten a fourth, I would have been like, okay. They probably, you know, asked themselves, so if we keep them for 3, 4, 5, 6 more months, how much more are we going to get than this?
But how much more confusion, if any, is that going to cause inside the locker room, David? I mean, that's really what it sounded like. They needed to get him out to just – let this be Caleb Williams' team from day one. There's no question. And when the Mac Jones trade happened, the market for Fields was set. in that he wasn't going to get much more than a, you know, maybe someone would have given a fifth, but the fact that they got a fourth conditional gave them that option.
I just thought they were going to hold on to him, Mark, because of what Pat has talked about and what we have documented. All the guys that get hurt, whether it be August, September, the trade deadline in October, that Fields plays, he's going to play better. He knows the offense. B, he's got the best talent around him that he had had in Chicago. How could he not be, never mind how motivated he is, because he knows he's showcasing himself. The Bears in May had to pick up his fifth-year option. They weren't going to. We all knew that. So he was basically on the final year of his rookie deal. And I think he could have been, if someone got hurt, somewhat desirable in a trade. But they decided to clear the decks. Pittsburgh and Chicago both. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. I don't want to see any of them again. No, they're nice guys.
Well, are they? Are we sure about Kenny Pickett being a nice guy? I mean, I'm...
Well, I was thinking more Mason Rudolph and Mitchell Trubisky. 2 out of 3.
Okay, fair enough.
The Steelers are like, no, you know, for the most part. I do love the whole homecoming part. You know, Mac Jones, who grew up in Jacksonville, now with the Jags. Kenny Pickett, who grew up in the southern part of Jersey, so he was an Eagles fan.
Now they can hold clipboards for their favorite teams as children.
It's a team I grew up rooting for. It's so nice.
Mac Jones has been pretty funny talking about it also. He's had good spirit about it. He's like, yeah, my mom's picking me up after this interview.
Yeah, I know. That was great at the presser. Guys, we got to wrap this up. My mom's picking me up in a half an hour.
That's spectacular.
We didn't see that side of Mac in New England. Funny how that happens.
A lot of sides of people we don't see
no.
when they were in New England.
Including from the coach. Probably see a different side of him, too, in the fall.
On Monday Night Football.
And we haven't even gotten to the biggest NFL story of the weekend, you could argue. That's all part of the starting five. Huh? How about that? How about that for first Monday morning tease? That's pretty damn good for Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes till the top of the hour. Bracket Dom in 2 hours, by the way. We'll go through the brackets one final time and ask him, hey, who are you surprised who got in? Never mind the whole seedings thing. And then get some quick impressions as to the bracket.
And coming up, probably at 7:15, Bracket Trent, who has out-goobered anything David Moulton has done in the past 3 years, I'll explain coming up.
Wow. I'm intrigued. By the way, 7:15, that's during a commercial break.
Well, better get on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. Between now and then, it's time for...
The Starting Five. 5 stories you need to know. It's the Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
The madness. Hell, it's already underway. But for some of you, it doesn't begin till Thursday. You're not even going to do the whole first four play-in thing in Dayton. Ah, okay, that's fine. It's your loss. But the men's and women's brackets are out. The number one seed on the men's side, UConn, Purdue, Houston, North Carolina. Getting the fourth one over Tennessee. Women's side, South Carolina, Iowa, USC, and Texas. On the men's side, yeah, the Big East is not happy today. See, they got 3 teams in. The Mountain West got double that. And they're not happy. St. John, Seton Hall, Providence.
Providence especially.
Which is funny because I thought they had the worst case of the three.
I understand, but as far as the complaint factor out of the coaches...
Yes.
Their coach led the charge with...
Yeah, he cursed and everything.
Yeah, he was not happy.
No. No. So, and no Indiana State. So no Big East. I mean, they got three teams in, but only three. And no Indiana State, who set a record, by the way, highest rating ever in the net. It's either 28 or 29. No team ever ranked in the top 30 had not made it. Well, add the Sycamores. 27, 28 wins? Yeah, nah, not good enough. Oh, lose to Drake by 4 in the Missouri Valley Final, huh? Really? That's it?
29th in
the But Virginia's net. In. As long as we get Virginia in the tournament, right. David, that's all that matters because they are a really fun team. I mean, they're an exciting team to watch. And by exciting, I'd rather watch paint dry on the side of a building.
And first off, Virginia should be kept out just for not fouling in the semis against NC State up 3 in the final seconds. I know the guy banked in a prayer from 30. It was a ridiculous shot, and he didn't deserve it and what have you. But sometimes the banks are open on the weekend. That's in college hoops, that's how it works. You can't let them get to the bank. You got to hit him. You got to wreck his car on the way to the bank. Can't let him get there. Got to pull him over. So only 3 in the Big East and Indiana State denied. By the way, the committee came and said, well, listen, there were 4 or 5 bids stolen this weekend. We'll tell you who the first 4 out were. Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, and Pitt. Now, the committee guy said it. I don't know if it's in that order, but Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, and Pitt, they're the ones who definitely lost bids based on what had transpired in the 72 hours leading up to Selection Sunday. By the way, there was controversy on the women's side. No Miami. Everybody who does women's bracketology had Miami in. And Charlie Cream is the Joe Lenardi, if you will. He's the ESPN's bracketologist, and no one's done women's bracketology longer than Charlie Cream, and he usually is very good. And he got 67 out of 68, but the one team he had in comfortably who didn't get a bid was Miami. They took a second team from the Ivy League instead. By the way, Miami's so honked off, they're not playing in their version of the WNIT either. They changed the name of it, but it's basically WNIT. St. John's, Oklahoma, Pitt, Memphis, and Ole Miss all said, blank you to the NIT also. Not interested.
All right. They did say that. But the reason behind it is that the transfer portal's open.
In some cases. In some cases, the kids on the team said, screw it, we're done. Okay, then no. I have no interest. NCAA or bust. In some cases, it's the coaching staff going, screw this. Transfer season starts tomorrow, meaning today. Rick Pitino just said, we're 6'7". We're bringing in 6'7", guys.
I hope they're quick enough laterally for him.
I know, which, by the way, when you're in your 70s, should you be complaining about anyone else's lateral movement?
I would like to be the reporter when the transfers come in, and that would be my first question. Coach?
Totally.
Thoughts on their lateral quickness?
Totally. Every kid, go right down it.
Yep.
So you brought in Jerome Jennings. How is he laterally? Absolutely. Go through everyone. Figure by the second one, Rick will get the joke.
I don't care if he does or not. I'm still asking the questions.
The Florida schools that are in, FAU got an 8 seed in the East. They'll draw Northwestern. I think they're a 2.5-point favorite. They were in the 8-9 game last year. They were supposed to play Purdue in the second round last year. Obviously, that didn't happen. This year, they're supposed to play UConn in the second round. I think people are more worried at FAU is going to get to the second round than UConn. Because UConn's drawn Stetson. The good news, Hatters, you're just a clean 16. No play-in. Although Miller and Moulton wanted them to be a play-in, we think it's better. They would have won it. Instead, they're drawing UConn. 26-point dog. I'm betting the over-under on that one. It's 144. Because I think, first off, Stetson scores a lot of points. And UConn will have their deep bench in 10 minutes to go in the game. And UConn's going to score at least 90. I mean, if Austin Peay scored 91 and Jacksonville scoring 87, I mean, how many do you think UConn score? So that's my play in that game. The Gators, by the way, got a 7 seed. Thought it'd be better than that. I thought if they'd beat Auburn, they would have been a 5. And I thought by losing to Auburn, they would have been a 6. Said they're a 7 seed, and they're playing Friday. They have to wait to see who wins the Colorado-Boise State play-in, which is odd. Usually the 11 seeds are the play-in.
There's all your extra bids, the automatic qualifiers.
Right.
Spoiling the fun.
Women's side, 2 Florida schools. Florida State, a 9 seed. They'll play Alabama on Friday. And FGCU, a 12 seed. They drew Oklahoma Saturday afternoon. Golf. Might have been the best players' championship ever, and they've had 50 of them. And no one had ever repeated until yesterday. Scottie Scheffler started the day 5 off the lead. Pars the first 3 holes. Then he holes out from the fairway on 4, and he's like, let's get this party started. He shoots an 8 under 64, posts 20 under. Says to Xander Schauffele, Xander, you're going to choke. You're Xander Schauffele. He said, okay, I can do that. I'll bogey 14 and 15. And Schauffele, along with Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, all finished 19 under, 1 shot back. Wyndham Clark lipped out a birdie putt on 18 to force a playoff. How in the world did that putt not go in?
After he birdie 17, right. Both he and Schauffele hit unbelievable shots into an incredibly difficult pin on 17.
Right.
Clark makes the 2-footer to get him within a shot, and then the hole on 18, it's halfway down. I mean, that ball was halfway down the hole and spun back out the other side.
So Scheffler's not only won back-to-back players, which no one had ever done, he just won back-to-back tournaments. Remember, he won the Arnold Palmer the week before. So in 8 days, Mark, Scottie Scheffler made $8.5
million. Is he playing on the Live Tour?
NFL. Man, a lot happened since we were last on the air. First off, Aaron Donald retired. Might be the best defensive tackle ever. And he's on the short list. I mean, whoever you want to mention, how far back you want to go? Joe Green, Bob Lilly, all right, Alan Page. Want to go Cortez Kennedy, Warren Sapp? Okay, honestly, he might be the best. You know, Reggie White was seen as more of an end than a tackle. So, just saying, I mean, Mark, off the top of your head, would you rattle off right now, best defensive tackle ever? Is there somebody that you would say, oh, definitely so-and-so, who's not Aaron Donald?
Joe Green would be the one that you would...
Okay. And obviously, different, you know, 50 years earlier, smaller and the whole deal, but his dominance, I'm just saying, might be the greatest defensive tackle ever. 10 years in the league, he retired at age 32. So Justin Fields gets traded from the Bears to the Steelers for a song. It's a 6th-round pick, becomes a 4th if he plays 51% of the snaps this year. Kenny Pickett gets traded to the Eagles for even more of a song. That's just a total pick swap thing. You know, you give me a 3rd, I'll give you a 4th. You give me a 6th, I'll give you a 7th. I mean, and here's 400 range balls. Here, go. Vikings, by the way, how about their deal Friday afternoon? In which they traded 2 2s and an additional pick. And they moved from early 2nd round into the 23rd pick of the 1st round. So the Vikings are now picking at 11 and 23. You got to figure they made that move because they want a quarterback, right?
Are they packaging both to go up, or are they sitting on 23 for someone to fall to them?
Like Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
Right.
Cowboys released Vander Esch and wide receiver Michael Gallup, saving $11 million in cap space. And former Cowboy left tackle Tyron Smith signs with the Jets. So 33-year-old, often injured Tyron Smith on the left tackle. 33-year-old, not that good, Morgan Moses at right tackle. That's the Jets' tackles. If I was them, I'd still take a tackle at 10. That's me. He could make up to $20 million with incentives, apparently, Tyron Smith. He actually had a pretty good year last year. You got to, he can't practice much, you know, but he, you know, anyway. NBA, The Heat had virtually nobody yesterday. Butler and like just six other guys didn't play. They still beat the Pistons in Detroit 104-101. Trent, how much money you lose on that game?
Did they cover? Did the Pistons cover?
I don't know because I didn't bet it.
Whoa!
College hoops. It's March.
Breaking news here on Miller and Moulton. Orlando, they're only a half game behind the Knicks for the four seed. They beat Toronto by 15. Phoenix scored 129 and lost by 11 to Milwaukee. You got to see the shot Kyrie Irving hit to beat the Nuggets. Honestly, if you don't care about the NBA, just go find it. They're tied at 105, under 3 seconds to go. Mavericks running inbound play. Kyrie Irving's right-handed. He hit a 15-foot left-handed shot with Jokic in his face. Seriously, it's awesome. You got to check it out. Atlanta beat the Clippers, and this just in, nobody's beating the Celtics in the East. They beat Washington by 26. So on Saturday, the Lightning continued their good play. They beat the Panthers 5-3. And because of the loss, Florida is actually behind Boston in the standings by a point, although Florida has a game in hand. Rangers have actually tied the Panthers on the points list. They beat the Islanders 5-2. Pittsburgh doubled up Detroit. Man, what is going on in Detroit? They've lost 7 of 8. They still hold down the second wild card, but by only a point over the Caps and the Islanders, who both have games in hand.
Look, they played way over their skis in January and February. If you would have told me, David, at this time of the year, the Red Wings...
Don't rationalize
really?
It. Don't.
Really? Because all I wanted was for this team to be fighting for a playoff spot come March, and that's what they're doing.
They're losing to the Arizona Coyotes, for goodness sakes. What the heck?
You're right.
And Denny Hamlin passed his teammate Michael Truex Jr. late to win at Bristol. Ross Chastain finished 15th. Mark, apparently they repaved the surface, and the tires didn't mesh well with the paving, and apparently the tires were shredding like an 18-wheeler going down I-75. And NASCAR had to, like, midway through the race, give everybody an extra set of tires. And only 5 cars ended up on the lead lap. It was a goat rodeo. It was so bad, Goodyear sent out a release in the middle of the race.
That's never good.
No, it really isn't. Doesn't help the drivers either. So 7 minutes before the hour, that was
the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
So there you go. A little bit of everything. A lot going on in the NFL, and it was number 3 on the list. That's how big the weekend was.
I love the Vikings making the moves to get back in the first round. They need a quarterback. Now they've got multiple first-round picks. They can figure something out, whether they move up, whether they stand pat and try to get one of the later quarterbacks. I like the move for the Vikings. Miller and Moulton. Miller_Moulton on X. Thanks for listening.